The scripture lesson for this morning is chosen from the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, verses 8 to 17. John 14, 8 to 17. Listen to the word of the Lord. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip? And you still do not know me. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you." This is the word of the Lord. Now, a Bergen County billionaire throws a poolside party in the backyard of his huge mansion on a hot summer day. He has a couple of pet sharks in the pool, and everyone looks at the sharks with fear, making sure they don't fall into the pool. Then the rich man announces, "If anyone dares to swim across the pool, I will reward him either with the hand of my beautiful daughter or $1 million. And splash, a man dives into the pool and swims across it very fast. He gets to the other side, jumps out of the pool, and runs back to this side of the pool and looks at the people in the crowd as if he was searching for someone. The crowd cheers for his courage, and the host asks him, "Young man, you are a true hero. Tell me what you want, the hand of my beautiful daughter or $1 million in cash?" He does not give the answer, but he keeps looking at the crowd with a stern face. The host asks him again, "Young man, what do you want?" He says, I want to know who pushed me from behind." Life is sometimes like a shark tank that we feel powerless to overcome. The moment we are born, we are already in this pool. There's no use finding who pushed us into this pool. The question is whether we can get to the other side safely. You know, we admire how Jesus walked this earth or swam this sea of suffering, but we never dare to imagine that we would do more than a fraction of what he has done. However, he said that not only that we will do what he has done, but we will be able to do greater works than he did. I think this is the most challenging commandment or statement he made, the most challenging commandment he has ever given to us. He said, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father." Can you imagine this? Doing greater works than Jesus did. Jesus went to the Father without leaving us idly waiting here, but he left us with works to do, not some small works, but greater works than he did. So let this expectation of Jesus sink into our heads and our hearts this morning. This is a huge challenge, but it is also encouraging because he said, we will do greater works than he did. He seems quite sure that we will do better. Now the question is how? Where do we get the power to do the greater works, starting with our personal life? What is your shock tank this morning? What is the mountain you need to move these days? What are the problems of life do you feel powerless to overcome? As a church, how do we overcome the status quo? Will we ever get out of our current situation? The good news is Jesus is telling us that we are given the power to do greater works than he did. Today is Pentecost, the day God poured down the Holy Spirit that Jesus called the power from on above. Jesus said, "I'm sending upon you what my Father promised, to stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Now, notice that it says, this is a power from on high. It is like a clothing that we can put on. And there's another passage in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 that says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When Jesus told the disciples that he was leaving them, they felt discouraged because they depended on him all these 3 years, not only to learn from him, but also being protected by him. They rely on him for the power to perform miracles and for the power to face the oppressions from the power that be, which is the authorities, the religious authorities and government authorities of those days. Jesus was indicating that if he was here, he could only empower a few people. If he went away, God would send the Holy Spirit to empower more people, more than just a small group of disciples. It seems that he wants to remove the disciples' dependency on him, that they become self-reliant with the direct power from the Holy Spirit. Instead of being carried under his wings, he wants them to fly with their own wings. The Holy Spirit is the wind beneath our wings. Using the word power as a mnemonic acrostic, let us look at how we can harness this superpower that allows the believers of those days not only to swim across the shark tank, but also to touch lives and change the world as we see it nowadays by fulfilling the mission Jesus has assigned to us. First and foremost, passionately love Christ. The foundation of this holy power comes from loving Jesus Christ. He started by saying, if you love me, if you love me, then the rest is receiving the Holy Spirit. That is the beginning of the power. However, it's easy to say, I love Jesus. We can say superficially. We can say habitually rather than, thinking seriously about it. There is no power behind the superficial love for Christ. When it comes to love, Jesus demands total and passionate love. Even, the Holy Week is also called the Passion Week. Jesus showed his love with passion. The great commandment doesn't just say, love God. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So all these, with all your heart, soul, and mind, means loving God with full force, loving God passionately. And God hates lukewarm love. He says in Revelation, so because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. So God doesn't like the taste of the lukewarm water. I think we need to ask for forgiveness if we are lukewarm. So let us passionately love Christ and nothing less. Secondly, obey his commandments. Jesus said, love is obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. What are his commandments then? Someone patiently listed all the commandments that Jesus made in the four Gospels, and he was able to find 50 commandments. I prefer to make things simple, right? Jesus made things simple. And you know that there's a difference between a scholar and a sage. A scholar makes simple things complicated. A sage makes complicated things simple. I like to be the latter. And so I look at the 50 commandments, and I study them, and not to do this, do that, and then actually, they can be easily summarized in one commandment. In fact, Jesus himself did this. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Jesus, I have loved you. You also should love one another. So the old commandment says, love your neighbor as yourself. But now he renewed it by saying that love one another as Jesus has loved you. So there's a different lover now. How did he love us? He said, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's exactly what he did. He laid down his life for us. That's a tall order for us to follow. Of course, it doesn't mean that you have to die for your friends, since you can die only once. How many friends you can die for? But that does mean that we must be able to love selflessly, like the way Jesus has shown us on the cross. It's a selfless love, self-giving love. And so now the third W is for welcome the help of the Holy Spirit. The word advocate can also be translated into helper. The power of the Holy Spirit is here to help us. God knows that we don't have the human power to do it, but with the Holy Spirit, we can do great things, do greater things. And he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. So when Jesus by using the word another, that means that the Holy Spirit is another. Jesus himself is an advocate, a helper, but now there's another helper that will come. This is the continuation of the previous verse that says, if you love me, you will keep my commandment, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. So the Holy Spirit can be with you forever. Jesus was here as human beings. Our human lives has limitation. Jesus has to go back someday and sometime. But this Holy Spirit is with us forever. So loving Jesus and keeping his commandments are the condition to receiving the Holy Spirit, which is the helper and the advocate. This is why Jesus said that you will do greater works than I did, not by yourself, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when I talk about power in here, we're not talking about personal power, because in here you can see that Zechariah delivered God's word that says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What it means is that it's not by our personal power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit that we do greater works. The fourth one, E, is for experience the love of God. Once you love Jesus and keep his commandments, which is to love others as the way Jesus loves you, the power of the Holy Spirit is with you, and you experience God's love in you. So that's the next level now. And they who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and will love them and reveal myself to them. And so we will receive God's love, and we will not only receive God's love, but we will be revealed. Christ will be revealed to us. And another verse that says, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. So you will experience God's love by experiencing God and Christ coming to you to make home with you. This is a big deal. Who doesn't want to be the home of God and Christ? The last one is R for resist doubts and discouragement. It's discouraging to see the sharks swimming in the pool, you know, the same pool that we are swimming. We doubt our ability to make any difference or contribution in this world. We think we are lucky if we survive. At times of doubt, remember Jesus' encouragements. He says, I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled. Do you know that the word doubt, do you know that the word Satan means doubt? The word Satan is a verb, actually. It's Aramaic word for pronounced Satan, which is to be adversarial, to oppose, to make you think the opposing thoughts, which is to doubt. Now, if So if Satan cannot make you bad, he will make you doubt. Because doubt can cripple people from doing greater works. Many people wasted their lives simply being crippled by doubt. So let us not doubt. And let us always remember the encouragement from Jesus Christ. So let's review the five elements of power. Passionately love Christ. Obey his commandments. Welcome the help of the Holy Spirit. Experience the love of God. And resist doubt and discouragement. May God bless all of you. And more powers to you. Amen.